Welcome to the Friday Fix, where we give you news, reviews, and interviews from the world of singlerism. An extra hit to string you out until Sunday story. And now here's your host, Dark Overlord Media's director of doom, a real girl herself, a Kovacs.
Hey, junkies, this is A Real Girl, and this week's Friday Fix is what has become our traditional year-in review, year-end podcast. Obviously, I have a guest with me today. Hello, Scott Sigler.
Well, hello there, A Kovacs, A Real Girl herself, director of Doom, and how are you today?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I'm excited.
You are,
and I am excited.
And maybe over-caffeinated.
I've had a lot of coffee, but also excited because we had a gigantic, awesome year for our small business, and it was great.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk today about a handful of those things. We're going to talk about the Nocturnal TV series. Mm-hmm. You're having more coffee.
Yeah, I'm going to sip coffee while we do this. The Nocturnal TV series. Exciting news on that front for everybody.
Yeah, a lot. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, hey, is there any other TV series in the works?
Well, let me look in this drawer over here. Why, I just found information about the Infected TV series.
What?
We haven't told your faces about that, but we're going to fill your face with a face full of information about the Infected TV series.
Yep.
Yep.
We formed Empty Set Entertainment, finally.
Yes.
5-year plan came together April of this year, incorporated. Mm-hmm. So we have a brand new site. We have a brand new company.
Yes. New guns.
New what?
New guns. Our gold-plated guns with engraved on the side. Because we're gangster.
No, we're not. Well, one, we're not gangster. And two, we don't have guns. And three, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to say gangsta. You're way too white for that.
Gangsta?
No.
Damn it.
We do have a new store, though. We
yes.
don't sell guns there. We sell t-shirts.
Not yet.
No.
I know a Colombian connection.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, no. That's the dude who... That's the coffee talking, I think. That's the Colombian connection is the coffee.
We'll tell them about our new store, which we're ridiculously excited about. And it's been selling gobs of stuff because now people can actually find the stuff that we sell.
Yeah. And then, oh my goodness, are there so many books. There's so many stories. You wrote a story for Charlene Harris's new anthology.
Yep.
You wrote a story for...
She's the True Blood Lady. Yep.
Yeah, Suki Stackhouse, True Blood Lady. You did not write a True Blood story, though.
No.
Robot Uprising, so that's Daniel H. Wilson. And
Daniel H. Wilson, yep. John Joseph Adams.
And then you finished the first draft of The Champion, which is pretty darn good.
Finished the first draft of GFL Book 5. We'll talk a little bit about that, and I will spoil all of the things in that book.
Finished Pandemic.
I finished Pandemic. Not only did I finish it, you can't see this because this is audio. I am actually holding the very first hardcover copy of Pandemic in my hands. It's girthy.
Yeah. You love that word, girthy.
I do. Size matters.
What happened this morning? Did you finish something this morning?
I finished 4 years of work into the book called Flyer, and I finished it this morning and talked to my agent this morning, and it is now going out and should be the first book we sell in 2014.
Yep. And then also this morning, since... I know you totally win the day by getting your first hardcover of Pandemic and finishing Flyer.
Yep.
But I finally closed the deal for the new MVP and All Pro paperbacks. So they'll be out in February.
So we're gonna talk about that giant debacle and
we sure are.
All the giant don't think it's been all wine and roses, junkies. 2013 we accomplished a bunch of great things. We also fell flat on our faces a few times.
We sure did.
And we're gonna tell you about how difficult it has been to recover from our mistakes.
And then we released Bones Are White in audio form, which is a cool experiment. We had a handful of other readers than you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found Phil Giganti to read and record Nocturnal.
Phil Giganti.
You sound nothing like him.
With my buttery deep voice.
Still nothing like him.
That melts clothes off of people.
Still nothing like him. and he actually just delivered the first draft of Pandemic for us to listen to. So that's pretty nice.
Talk about Phil.
We had a Siglerfest in October.
Yep.
Siglerfest in October was super fun.
We'll tell them why it was the best Siglerfest ever.
Yep. And we had a no GFL book, which is unique for our collaboration and our business.
We'll talk about how I cried in my Cheerios over that.
You sure did. And then I think that that's the size of things, because that's, we'll go talk back and forth about some of that, but everything else is next year.
We know that you people are extremely busy and horribly important, and you may not listen to this because these things usually run an hour or so of us flabbing our gas bags out. But so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the crap that you want to know the most about first. And I know you people. I've known you people for a long time, and you want to know when the little black and white little black words on the white page become little moving pictures on screens, big or small.
Right.
Yeah.
So we started a collaboration with Lloyd Levin in April of 2012.
You mean Lloyd Levin, producer of Hellboy, Hellboy 2, Green Zone, Die Hard 2, also little movie with Mark Wahlberg called Boogie Nights. That Lloyd Levin. Oh yeah.
He got in touch with us when Nocturnal came out, because Amazon thought something he bought, if you liked that, you might like this, which is so fantastic.
It's so crazy. The guy's made one of the best eye candy monster movies this century. I mean, if you've watched Hellboy or Hellboy 2, regardless of what you think about plot, character, pacing, anything, just looking at it is like an eye orgasm for monster fans. It's phenomenal. And he found a gosh darn book because Amazon said, well, if you like this, you'll like this. Out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's actually been a lot of work this year. That's one of the reasons that we didn't do a GFL book. Mm-hmm. And you did quite a lot of work with Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo.
The screenwriters.
Who are the screenwriters to get the...
They did a show called Sentinel, which lasted three seasons on UPN, which basically, in the world of Hollywood, makes them gangsta. Because if you have a show that goes, they are gangsta.
I don't think you get to say gangsta.
If you have a show that goes three seasons, there's something significant about that. And we're finding that out as we're looking at all the option contracts for Nocturnal and for Infected. Two seasons, nobody really seems to care. It's great, everybody likes it. But if it makes it to three seasons, that's unique and special. And Danny and Paul have put out a TV show that lasted three seasons, and that makes them made dudes. And when we sit down for meetings, it's quite impressive. But what happened with Lloyd was the series Bible. Lloyd wanted to do this, and I said, well, I've done a series Bible for a book called Earth Core, and I've done one for a book called The Crypt, because I want to turn those into TV shows. Would you like me to do a series Bible for Nocturnal? He said he hadn't done a series Bible before, but sure. 10 pages turned out to be, as usual, I thought it would be one of our little projects. Through the course of the year, the 10-page series Bible has grown into 65 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Full synopsis on all of the episodes in the season, synopsis on the next four seasons, a timeline, historical information, extra characters, information for video games, for graphic novels. It's this giant, it's basically I wrote another novel that you guys will never see.
And I'm really, I have to say, just shocked that you overwrote your series Bible. It's really hard for me to imagine that you went a few hundred thousand
Lloyd,
words
that's
over.
Not my fault. I blame Lloyd. Lloyd's an enabler. I'm like, would you like this? Every time I say, would you like this information? He says, yes, I would. So it's Lloyd's fault. I blame the producer of Hellboy.
Okay. So anyway, that has been ongoing all year long. We just had a little bit of movement that suggests that, although I don't really know how these things work, I think now we're at a place where we can confidently say it will probably be moving to pilot, if it moves to pilot, in 2014.
It looks like it should, and that's another thing we did this year. We signed with a new representation for motion pictures and TV, Paradigm Agency, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks strong that we're going to sign the option contract for Nocturnal, and then we move into pilot pitching season.
Mm-hmm.
So then Lloyd goes out, swaggers around Hollywood, and I'd like to think he drives a lowrider, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
And he goes around Hollywood and basically says, we have this great, here's our script, here's our information, let's get some money together and make a pilot. And if they get that done, then we move into series pitch season. So right now it looks probable that Nocturnal will be in pilot pitch mode. Then we'll see if they actually make a pilot. If they actually make a pilot, then we move into series buying mode, and then we see if somebody wants to pick it up for, I believe it's 12 episodes.
Right. And so, yeah, we signed with Paradigm, and also this year, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, interest came for an Infected TV show.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. This is so crazy.
That's right. And I have forgotten how Sarah Timmerman and Carl Beverly found out about Infected, but they apparently these people read a ton of books.
Right. Carl read the book.
Carl read the book and contacted Bird, my agent at the Waxman level literary agency in the NYC,
mm-hmm.
which happens to be like five blocks down from Paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And Bird said, yeah, guess what? The producer of Justified and Elementary is interested in Infected. And I lost my shit.
You did.
I lost my shit. Justified is one of the shows that I watch the set when it comes out, because I don't want any spoilers. I watch it when, every episode when it comes out, because I love it.
Right. And we ended up, that is an interesting thing, because that whole relationship has moved on a different trajectory and a little bit faster mm-hmm. than the Nocturnal trajectory. And that's actually why we're together today, because yeah. we came to Los Angeles to go visit the set of Justified and the crew there.
Which was awesome.
It was super fun. It was
which
super
could be
fun.
A whole separate Friday fix, hearing us geek out about... I was hanging out behind Timothy Oliphant. Not with Timothy Oliphant, because he was very much in character and a serious, hard-working dude. But I was a foot away from him.
It was quite interesting. And to see, you know, it's a funny thing, because we are new at this, at the whole let's talk to TV people and how all that works. And it was a really effective way to bring home the idea that, like, yeah, if somebody's going to get behind your stuff, they're going to have to know that 100 people on set will be on set, I guess, and all that other stuff. There's this huge power, amount of power that one could have being in the position to create a new show, mm-hmm. but also this huge, enormous responsibility. Yeah. That crew was gigantic.
Huge. And it also, that was a big eye-opener. We've already written the pilot script for Nocturnal. And by we, I mean Danny and Paul have largely written it and bounce ideas off me, and I say, yay, yes, no, and then they sometimes take the advice, they sometimes don't. It's been a great collaborative effort, but they've really driven that. And so there have been changes. There's already been a lot of changes to Nocturnal. Some major, some cosmetic. But that taught me one thing that I cannot... We're not going to go into this thinking it's going to be straight out of the book. It just doesn't work that way. But then on the set of Justified, we actually got to talk to the screenwriter of that episode. We got to talk to the Marshall, the real-life Marshall, who's the consultant for mm-hmm. the show.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was nice and friendly, but they are literally changing it as they are shooting it. They're
right.
changing dialogue. They're changing plot. They're shooting. We were there for episode 7. They're still screwing around with crap as the cameras are rolling. So it was really good for us because, as you guys know, I'm a bit of a control freak mm-hmm. with my stories.
You sure are.
But we know that if we're fortunate enough to move to pilot and even into series, that we can't get upset if a lot of things change, because it's not the book, it's the TV show.
And to be fair, I mean, that I learned watching the whole Nocturnal process happen. And I think that junkies would be surprised to know, you know, you always in your head, and as a fan, I do the same thing, like, oh, God, they should make this book into a movie, but they shouldn't change a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read that pilot script for Nocturnal, and there are so many different elements in that never existed. Right. Not like, oh, let's tease this out and make it a bigger thing. Like whole cloth, new, different tangents and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because visual media is different. It just is.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we would get away. I don't think that anything gets sort of out unscathed and goes, you know, onto the screen exactly how it was in the book. And that is going to be so hard for you.
It's going to be hard, but I'm really excited about it. And it's a different story. You guys have your stories in your hardcovers. And when you watch those, you've got the theater of the mind. You can see anything that you want to see. But when it comes time to actually putting moving pictures on a screen, it's a completely different process, different creatives. So so we'll sum that up, that we're super excited.
Mm-hmm.
A and I have been in this game together for 5 years. And I've had options for movies before, and nothing has happened. So getting the option signed is the big deal, and then hopefully we get some pilots done. But 2014 could shape up. We may actually see one pilot of one of my books on TV, and if that happens, we will be letting you all know.
It's true.
Yeah.
I will say this, too. You have been down this road before, and I really have not. Mm-hmm. This whole experience is the first time. All of this 5 years, a lot of times you're like, oh, well, right, I had this sort of interest before. Nothing. You're much calmer mm-hmm. about all the things than I am. However, I was having a pretty hard time of it yesterday. So you flew down from San Francisco yesterday, drove up from San Diego. And right before you get on the plane, I was like, yay, we're going to Justify. Like, I was so excited. You were like, yeah, if it happens. I'm like, wait, what? You're getting on a plane. I've been talking to the writer, like, for days. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, if it happens. I was like, what? So I was pretty excited that we finally got that done.
Yes. I've learned to be hopeful, but not overly excited. But long ways to go.
Yeah, long ways to go. So anyway, that is the big piece of work that you didn't see in 2013, and hopefully we'll move forward in 2014.
Yep.
Some of the work that you did see, of course, we finally got our act together and created Empty Set.
Yes, and that's been a huge goal of mine and a huge goal of both of ours is to actually, and we've had Dark Overlord Media, which has been largely not even an on-paper company.
That was a handshake agreement.
And I still get people who are baffled with, why would you give away half of your stuff? You know, and I'm like, well, you haven't met A, and you haven't seen all the amazing things that A can do. And I've talked about on the podcast before, I've largely seen you as the number one draft pick, the clear runaway number one draft pick of someone who can make a franchise immediately competitive and championship caliber. And we got Empty Set locked in, and that is official LLC. Mm-hmm. A point of order, junkies. A did a post of the work on this part because I was writing, hence why we're setting it up the partnership this way. But we got EmptySet.com, uh-huh. which was ridiculous. We got the company done, LLC, paperwork filed. I went and looked for a website for us and saw EmptySet.com wasn't being used. Emailed the guy uh-huh. and I'm like, here's the deal. We can't afford to buy this for what it's worth, and we know that. But look at the pictures of our Empty Set tattoos.
And, yep. And you told them that you write, you know, here's what you do. You write for Crown, Random yep. House, and then you also write these young adult stories. And this was the coolest thing because he wrote back and said, okay, what are you offering me? Because I've had these other offers before. Mm-hmm. And also, The Rookie sounds like a book my son would really love. So is there any way that I can get a copy of that? Because it seems to be sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the deal. He got an unnumbered hardcover.
I went into my personal stash.
Because that was his making the grade. You had to do that to make the grade.
So we got that done. And then and this has all been last couple of months. Very exciting. And then we had Matt do a website for us.
So Matt Murray at Filament 72.
Filament 72. So now EmptySet.com is up. We got a logo done.
Yeah,
Alex.
Yeah, Alex White did a logo for us. That, I think, might have gotten finished at Balticon this year.
Mm. And if you guys go to EmptySet.com, you can see that is new, but it looks really sexy. It's really sharp, mm-hmm. and that is going to be the focal point of our business for the next, literally the next 50 years.
Which means I have to totally get on the ball and start blogging.
You are blog fading like
I
crazy.
Am. I know. I've been busy.
Welcome to my world. It doesn't matter.
I need an A.
You need an A. Exactly. So you guys should go check that out. That's been amazing. We're really, really proud of that. And our small business has been growing for 5 years, and now it's legal and signed and official. Mm-hmm. And I plan on driving A crazy with new projects for the next 5 decades at least. Yeah.
But we also moved ScottSegler.com to a WordPress platform. Yep. We had a great run with the Back My Books guys, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, their business model changed a little bit, and they realized that they could best serve the community they were trying to serve, which is authors and creators, by doing what they do best, which is sort of web citizenry and maybe e-commerce and that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. so they're rebuilding their business model. At the same time, that meant that they weren't going to let go of their platform.
And we got ScottSigler.com moved to a new platform, WordPress platform, which largely everybody else is using. And it was new for us because we have built everything of our own from scratch, or hired people to build it from scratch, or partnered with people like BackMyBooks. Like, let's make this brand new site and we'll invent everything as we go and it'll be perfect and great. And now we've moved, the amount of time that is taken away from our business development and our writing has been huge.
Yeah.
So this time we went with WordPress, and that's an existing thing. We hired someone to do all the skin for us, and then we got the new e-commerce with WooCommerce.
It's a native WordPress platform, WooCommerce.
So we now have a brand new store in addition to everything else I have in 2013, and it's just been phenomenal. I mean, you're hearing us say this, and you're like, well, that's just common sense. Why wouldn't you buy something that already works and use it? We don't have an answer for that.
Well, I think a lot of it is because you are, you know, we're entrepreneurs and you're a creative.
Yeah.
And you create things from whole cloth all the time. So it does sound really elementary that we didn't do that.
But my whole career from the time that, if you guys have been with us long enough that you heard the first episode of EarthCore, I have invented all of this crap as I've gone, or said, oh, somebody's doing podcasting, let's do this, or what's Cory Doctorow doing, let's try something along those lines. And there have been no existing tools. When I started podcasting, you had to figure it all out on your own. There was no iTunes, there was no nothing. And everything has been this fast-moving pirate ship from square one. But now we're to the point where we've actually got products, and we've got revenue, we actually could go out and hire someone to make something, and man, is it neat to use something that's already well developed.
Right, yeah. And I think, you know, being able to work with people who are experts in their field, in a field we don't need to become experts in, is refreshing.
As a company, we're getting better at that. We're like, well, we can take X amount of hours to go learn how to do this, or we can go hire someone to do this thing for us. And we stick to our core competency, which is managing the process, handling the publishing, arranging for books, etc., and mine is writing. And so that's probably the biggest thing I've taken out of 2013 is when we can, we hire other people in there to do what they're very good at, and we stick to what we're very good at.
Right. And you're I at last year's Year in Review, and certainly at last year's Siglerfest too, and last year's con season, I talked a lot about, like, yeah, as a creative, I'm just trying to get you as the creative to give me a year where you write. Give me a year where you write to get all this stuff out so people stop asking about EarthCore or whatever. And we started to be a little bit more frank about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, in this year, you wrote, oh my goodness, so many things that you would not have done and we wouldn't have been able to do.
Like what? What did I write this year?
Well, you were contacted by Charlene Harris, like we said, who wrote the True Blood Sookie Stackhouse mm-hmm. books. And she wanted, she's a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because every time you go to Murder by the Book in Houston for a book tour, she's got a pre-order and it tweaks you out every single time.
It's so surreal. Like, no, this isn't the Charlene Harris. Like, oh yeah, it is. Like, no, it's not.
So this last time, actually, I think you sent her a note saying, gosh, how great, you know, you're a fan, whatever. And that started a correspondence. She invited you to join Great Games Creatures Play,
mm-hmm.
Which is an anthology where you contributed a Hunter Hunterson.
Brand new Hunter Hunterson story.
And that'll be out
April 1st, 2014.
And then the Robot Uprising book out a week later.
Yep,
right?
April 8th, Robot Uprising, Daniel H. Wilson, Joseph Adams anthology.
And that's a Petra Prowitt story.
That's a Petra Prowitt story. So that's the first story ever with the person who's presumed to have founded or created or done something with the Prowitt from the GFL series in the Siglerverse.
Right, and then speaking of the GFL, you wrote The Champion this year.
First draft of book 5 of the GFL, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost done with that. And that will go on pre-order on February 1st, Super Bowl Saturday, and come out September 1st, publishes September 1st.
Yep, great, great.
You want to give anybody spoilers about that?
No.
No?
Well, no, I don't. I mean, we don't even
know. Because at the top of the hour, you were like, I'm going to spoil all over that.
Well, I'm not going to spoil that.
I see.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil that. We have no, people have no idea if there's even a GFL season this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because where we left things off in GFL 4, things were heading four things were heading in a slightly different direction.
So. Yeah, and I'll say that I think that, you know, for what I've read of it, I think that it's some of it surprising, some of it's even going into it sort of having known where what you were writing. Reading, there are still things that surprise me, so that's pretty good.
Good. And so I got that done, and then, as we said, pandemic was a ton of work.
A ton of work. And then right now we're in the midst of ramping up all the press, because pandemic comes out January 21st, so that's just a few weeks away.
Yeah.
Holy cow, is there a lot going on with that. But I said when you received the first hardcover yesterday, mm-hmm. you were... You know, it is fun to look at. It's cool. It's great. And it's really, it's funny because you look at it and you're like, yeah, you know, yeah, this is pretty cool. And I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, the amount of work and pain and suffering and laboring of love and all that you have forgotten that went into that.
Yeah.
It's good because you would never start another creative project again.
Yeah, Nocturnal and Pandemic as far as 1-2 punches for things that were difficult to get through. But that's the good part of our business. I tend to focus on the shiny object and what's in front of me and completely lose myself in what I'm working on, and bills stack up and the office gets dirty and I don't do anything because I'm trying to finish the book. And then there's kind of managing things. You're managing things from a different level so that I can do that.
Right.
The beauty of our business is... I can focus on a book to the point where I get an email asking if I've eaten today, you know, like, you know, or a text like, you should probably go outside for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Because I don't. I have no concept of what's going on. But I think I will say that although I hated, I wanted to pee on Nocturnal. That was my goal when I finished. I want to take the first copy that came in, take it into a field, and urinate on it, because that's how much I hated writing that book. Pandemic, I hated only marginally less. But now that it's done... yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty good way to finish up that series. So if you guys haven't pre-ordered that yet, you absolutely should. All the time people say, what's the best way I can help you guys for all the free content you put out? And this year, right now, the answer is you pre-order Pandemic. You go to scottsigler.com/pandemic. All the Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the links are there. You get autographed copies from Borderlands Books. You pre-order that. And on Super Bowl Saturday, you pre-order a copy of The Champion.
Nothing else moves the needle the same way. So let's see, what else? We're zipping through this, and you have not been a lot of times. It's because you had coffee and not liquor.
Yeah.
A lot of times we do this in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and there's a lot more sass.
Well... I could, you know, I'll ramp up the SAS engines. And I'm sure there's a SAS power up here somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I got shut down already. I was trying to, like, you know, get back to my roots, all gangsta.
No,
and you said no.
No.
I'm talking about popping caps with our you know, gold-plated guns of some
but
kind.
None of that. You're making all of that up.
I assure you. Chris Grawl out there has a gold-plated gun for us. Guns. He's going to show us how to shoot them.
So we also, just moving on from your gun story.
Yeah.
We also had Phil Gigante join the fray.
Phil Gigante, another reason we've written... So I've written friggin' basically 3 novels this year, 2 novellas, all the audiobook recording, and we're talking about the audiobook recording now, and we had Phil record Nocturnal for us, mm-hmm. and that pissed off a lot
of people.
A lot of junkies.
And then there's still a ton of people who will send a... people have sort of gotten over it. There's a few people who on the site said, like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, I certainly get that. But
I get it.
We've all
been in this together for many years. A lot of you guys listening to this, maybe your first year in review, you're new, and you don't know any different that I don't record all the stories, but a lot of the people that we hold very dear to our heart have been with us for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years now. And the magic has always been the guy who wrote the story is reading you his story every Sunday. And that is unique, and it is special, and it creates a connection and a bond, and it makes fans for life. And we have a relationship. Even if we've never met before, we have a relationship. So to bring in someone else to read the stories just chapped a lot of asses. And some people are done, and that's fine. They're not coming back. You know, they'll buy the books and read them, but they don't want to listen to the audio. But he's also... really good at what he does and has won over a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think the audiobooks are really good. He brings his own fan base, which helps us. And every audiobook that Phil does, that is 30 to 40 hours of time where my fingers are on a keyboard writing new content instead of in the audio booth recording.
Right. And, you know, there's been a little interesting evolution because it used to be people would write into the info at or media at scottsengler.com, and the very common thing they would say is, okay, no, I get why you had to do a YA book. I get why you had to make the rookie YA. I get why you're writing the series YA. Are you also going to do mature audiences? And we would say over and over again, like, no, that's essentially writing two books. Mm-hmm. There is never going to be, as soon as we can get the rookie re-recorded and out there again, there will never be a mature audiences, Galactic Football League, anything.
Right.
And over and over and over again, we'd get that email like, well, but you could do that. Like when you're rich and famous and sitting on your piles of money, mm-hmm. which I'm, you know, pretty sure never happens to anyone because somebody who makes a pile of money is out there making more new stuff.
Right.
That said, when you're rich and famous sitting on your piles of money, go back and make, just record a mature audiences version, like right on the fly.
It's a huge production.
Now, fascinatingly, that has sort of died down. The when will you write Mount Fitzroy is still floating around. Mm-hmm. But a lot of, okay, now when you're rich and famous and sitting on your piles of money, will you just go back and record the things that Phil did? It's so amazing. Like, we love it, but we would love it more if it were you.
Well, people just don't... People don't understand how much work goes into recording an audiobook. It's an enormous amount of work. Back in the day, I used to record it, then I would edit it, and that is basically 2 months of full-time work to record and edit an audiobook. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It's your full-time job for 2 months. And then we were able to bring in Ariok and then Steve Rickyberg, the Iceberg, bring those guys in, A-Rock and Iceberg, and they helped a lot by taking that production time away and doing a really good job on it. And now we're to the point where we've got, you know, for some books, we're going to use Phil. We'll use Phil until he pushes us away.
Yeah, he's great. But it's sort of interesting because for me, it's okay, if we're done, my whole goal all the time is to get things off our plate, completed and off our plate, so that you can move on to the 50,000 other things. Like today, you finished Flyer, and I'm like, well, great, because we have another 20,000 words due by the 31st of December, which is 11 days.
It never ends. But we did record something this year.
We did?
Yes, the rookie audio.
Oh, yes, we did. Yeah, that you did record. We did that not too long ago.
Not too long ago.
Beginning
I was in
of
the
November,
booth recording
I think.
The rookie audiobook. That's being edited right now. And 2014, come 2014, we should see those books in the Audible store and the iTunes store and the Amazon store.
And the paperbacks for the MVP and the All Pro finally have a release date.
Yes.
That has been a big debacle.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about it. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but we got upsold. So any of you guys who are creators, authors, artists, etc., small business people, anybody who makes things, listen carefully to this story. We put out our own hardcovers, and by any stretch, they are ridiculously successful. We sell very expensive, very nice, limited edition hardcovers. We've sold out of almost everything that we have made at a high price, and we have shown everyone that they are completely wrong when they say that we can't do that. And we are kings in that empire. We've done great work and made people happy and have great happy customers. So we thought, oh shoot, we'll do the same thing with paperbacks. So we do the paperbacks, and we go to Diversion, who is connected to my my agent, Bert, and strike a deal where they're going to help us get distribution by Perseus, and we're going to be in every bookstore. And we've talked about this in the past. We're excited. Right. We've got our own distribution. We're going to be in every bookstore in the country. Well, the bookstores that are left will be in every bookstore in the country. And then we get the upsell. So A and I come in, we're like, we're going to print 3,000 copies of The Rookie, 3,000 copies of The Starter, assuming there'll be 2, 3, 4 in every bookstore. And when those drop down to 500 copies, we'll do just-in-time manufacturing, we'll print more, we'll ship them out. And Perseus tells Diversion that they think this is going to be a monstrous hit.
Yeah.
They're like, there's nothing like this in the marketplace. It's great for boys in particular, but athletic girls too, and there's nothing like it. We think you should print how many copies, eh?
10,000 of each.
10,000 of each.
To be fair, it started differently. It was, we went to them and said, we can afford to print 3,000 copies. They went out and sold it to the sales team, and then it would go, because if they had said that, 3,000? No, we want 10,000. I think I would have died.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. It was, okay, we need to print 4,000. Okay, let's go talk about the money and blah, okay, I guess that's fine. And it incrementally went gangbusters, as it were,
right,
until we were at 10,000 copies.
Oh. And part of the reason for needing 10,000 copies was, number one, there was going to be in-store display advertising in all the Barnes & Nobles. And number two, printing that many copies was demonstration to the bookstores that these copies were going to be available, and they, Barnes & Noble and everybody else, should put a lot of effort into selling them, because it's a big deal. The more copies you print, the bigger the deal the book is. So if we had stuck to our guns and said 3,000, the way they spelled it out to us, that would have impacted how much effort the bookstores put into actually selling the books. So our instincts as small business people who have done a really good job with what we have were 3,000 copies. And we had endless conversations about this is, if we print 20,000 copies of these paperbacks, that's all the money that we have made. That's pretty much everything we have made so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally went against our better judgment and tried to trust other people in the industry. And how'd that turn out for us, eh?
That did not pan out for us at all. well, okay, to be fair, we learned a lot.
Yep.
I will say that. We learned a lot. It was an expensive lesson. It was a lesson that it will cost us, when it's over, more money than I made in my first professional year working out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these things happen. And so in that regard, we learned a ton. We understood a lot about ourselves. We're in a position where we can salvage that and do a good... The good news is we paid for those books to be printed, mm-hmm. which makes them ours in a different way. And we had more ownership of what to do with them. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, it was painful. How many times did I say, oh, I stomped around for months as the deal... First, as they didn't deliver on the rookie and the starter like they were supposed to.
Right.
And then as the deal for the MVP and the all-pro printing sort of started to change and fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
I stomped around. I must have said it 25 times a day for 2 weeks. I am the only freaking person who did exactly what I said I'd do.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I was mad.
Mad as hell. So then they were, the original deal was to also print the all-pro and the MVPs. So they were all four paperbacks. And we have since, Perseus and Diversion and us have kind of all agreed, like, this didn't really work out the way anybody wanted this to work out. And Diversion steered us towards Bookmasters. Is that right?
They did. So Diversion, we kind of talked about it with the folks at Diversion. And Bookmasters turns out, so far, it to be what will probably be a pretty good solution for us. They're, they have the ability to print. So the in real-time printing, we can do a smaller run. And if things take off, it'll be easier to print more. And they'll be right there at the warehouse. We signed that deal yesterday.
Yay.
Yesterday.
And you worked on that for 10 months.
10 months.
10 months.
Yeah. And that was just a lot because they're, you know, we were the very end user with Diversion and Perseus, where Diversion did all of the work that now I do.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's their business, which meant a million things I had to learn. Like, I'd get an email that said, you know, notch binding or perfect binding? And I'd be like, awesome, let me go figure out what that means.
Right, right.
And there were a million things like that. But still, that means that we have now the rights have reverted. We have the ISBNs are in our name, all that other stuff. It's now up on Amazon for pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they'll be out mid to late February.
So you guys can pre-order those paperbacks now. And they're still $9.99, is that right?
Still $9.99.
Yeah. So these are anybody else in the world selling these trade paperbacks of this size, it's $14.99 or higher, and we still sell them at $9.99.
Right.
Because screw you, everybody else. Also, how many copies are we printing of the MVP and the L-Pro?
We're going to print 3,000 of each.
3,000 copies. So everyone, we have come out of this losing a bunch of money. Have a bunch of products still there, so eventually we'll hopefully make that back. But largely what we have learned is we are a small, nimble shop. We are still a sleek pirate ship cutting through the waters, and avast ye scurvy dogs, we're going to make our own decisions, and we are not going to get upsold on crap ever again.
Right.
Yeah, so that's that lesson learned. You know, small business, trust your instincts and watch your pocketbook and don't overspend. Don't let somebody talk you into spending more than you have.
Right. Well, and you know, those were heady days, though, because who doesn't like to be told you're the next Harry Potter?
Yeah. They were like, this is going to be like a miniature version of Harry Potter. Like, I'll take any percentage of Harry Potter
I can get. Exactly. Yeah.
And there's
nothing like that in the marketplace now because... Katniss, what's the
Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games series is all out, and so there's not another book coming. The marketplace needs a series.
Well, you know, we do what we do from now on.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, you can pre-order them on Amazon. They are the first Empty Set Entertainment imprint.
Yeah.
And, I think that is a lot of the work that we did this year. The only other thing I think we need to talk about maybe is if you had any fun at Sigler Fest.
Oh my God, Sigler Fest was freaking fantastic. That's our third Sigler Fest, and it was the biggest and best Sigler Fest yet. I told you guys, just once we announced Sigler Fest 2014, just take a vacation day, two vacation days. It's over the weekend. Book the tickets to Vegas and just go. I'll give a quick rundown of the things that happened. There was a hatchling cake as bigger than my whole head and shoulders together. So an actual real size hatchling in chocolate cake format, along with pandemic cupcakes, which were virus cupcakes. And yeah, of course we all got a little sick because it's a virus cupcake, but that doesn't matter.
I think you might have gotten sick because you ate 15.
It was so good. And then we had the Crypt Lego was brought for display by Kelly the Builder, which was frigging amazing. Mm-hmm. We had I would say in the history of mankind, the best karaoke session anyone has ever seen ever.
Well, okay.
It was amazing. I sounded phenomenal.
You certainly thought so.
Yes. And we had a glorious time. I won't get into all of the people I offended at Sigler Fest, although yelling at John Vizcarra for not being able to read the goddamn machine, the karaoke machine, because it's done in red and green, and he can't see the red and green.
Yeah, that was kind of a jerk face move.
That was embarrassing.
So but, I'll say, John had my favorite winning line at Sigler Fest, which was the morning of the second day, he posted on his Facebook. On his Facebook feed, "Oh beer, why do you hate me so?" Oh, so good. It made me laugh so much.
But all of our, you know, a lot of the people who came to that were people who've been with us for 5 years and have been to all the Sigler Fests, and it was glorious and grand, and we had two entire families come to Sigler Fest this time.
Three
entire families, two of the families with grown kids, and the whole family listens to the thing, and they all came and had a great time together. And then we had, you know, one little kid on site. Crack Baby was there on site. And it just, all in all, Sigler Fest, I went into it honestly going, this might be our last Sigler Fest. This is a lot of work, and we got to get some books written and some things recorded. And coming out of that, like, that was awesome. We're going to do that again.
Yep, and we signed a contract for that already.
So that was a
Sigler Fest. Hang on. Sigler Fest will be October 10th and 11th, 2014. We'll go back to the Orleans. We have changed up a handful of things. We always have an excursion, and I think the excursion this time will probably be racing go-karts.
Racing go-karts. Fabulous. Also, will I bowl another $2.95 game?
No. You mean one that cost $2.95?
No, I meant when I bowled the $2.95. Five pence from a perfect game.
You didn't. Never did that.
There's no proof I didn't. You can't
prove
I didn't.
You did. But I know that this year you bowled a 200 at your local lane.
I did.
And they gave you a pin.
I
so
got a
where's
pin.
Your $2.95 pin?
I lost it.
Okay.
I got mugged.
Okay.
There were others who were more gangsta than me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So,
And that was pretty much our whole 2013. No big deal. It's not like anything happened.
No big deal.
Not big deal. What's coming up in 2014?
Oh my goodness, so much stuff. So let's see. Pandemic is out January 21st.
Mm-hmm.
You're going on tour that week.
Oh, that's right.
Five, six, seven cities, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, Maryland, Philly, Baltimore, Nashville, LA, San Diego.
Yep.
And then you'll be the All Pro and the MVP will be out sometime in February. Okay. In paperback. I think that we are going to have. Oh, can we talk about our new novella plan?
Sure.
So I'm hoping to have novellas, right? We've talked about them a ton. We have The Writer written, co-written with Paul Cooley, The Gangster co-written with Nathan Lowell, mm-hmm. and The Reef co-written with Matt Wallace.
Another Kyle North story.
Another Kyle North story. We have been unable to get you focused on that.
Those guys have gotten their crap taken care of, and I have been pulled in many different directions and have not done my job.
So I hate to say this, but I had to call in the big guns.
Who was the big guns?
Well, you're not going to like it.
I like everybody. There's no one I don't like in this world.
There's one person you're not fond of.
You couldn't hire him.
I almost couldn't hire him, but I figured out a way to hire J.C. Hutchins to curate those novellas. I am so excited.
There's going to be Hutchins stank on my Sigler stank?
There is. And when the deal was finally done, which also got done this week, he's going to curate all the novellas so that we eventually put them out in print.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to write a novella of his own. I am so excited about this. It's like Christmas came early. It's the best thing ever.
I'm going to curate his face.
No, you're not. It's awesome. It's really awesome, actually.
We are pretty excited about it. Hello, it's Hutchins.
Come on, you're totally excited about it.
So let me get this straight. Pandemic, Robot Uprising, Games Creatures Play.
There's the Mayberry story. There's V-Wars.
V-Wars. I'm writing a Jonathan Mayberry story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing another John Joseph Adams story.
Actually, three. Three mini stories.
Three mini stories. We'll count them as one, though. We'll count that as one book.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to come out with five. Then in paperback, we're going to count these. In paperback, the All-Pro and the MVP, seven. Then we're going to have three novellas.
Uh-huh.
So 10?
Four novellas, actually.
Four novellas. 11? We're going to have 11 properties out in 2014?
Well, and then you're also part of the Pollen Storm
That's right. Pollen Storm
From the Kickstarter. You agreed to write a story if they...
12.
12 stories?
12 stories and or novels out.
Absolutely, in 2014.
Jiminy Christmas.
All that I'm saying is maybe you focus on the creative, let me do the adjacent, and you'll get a lot more stuff out.
I don't really have any choice at this point.
So that was our rambly year in review, fueled by coffee, not by beer.
Yep, no beer yet.
And then the only other thing is we endeavored to make the world a little bit of a better place.
Oh.
And are committing to continuing our chosen charities for 2014,
mm-hmm.
And we added one. So we're still going to support Science Education Outreach, mm-hmm. working with Cosmo Quest. We are going to support the Wounded Warrior Project,
mm-hmm.
and work on projects that promote stopping violence and hatred against women on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is super exciting, making the world a better place. We have joined forces with Patrick Rothfuss's
mm-hmm.
World Builders.
Yeah, World Builders. As a company, we're actually able to be a silver sponsor.
Gold sponsor.
Gold. We're gold sponsor of World Builders. So if you guys go to worldbuilders.org, check that out. It's a fantastic charity. You will see the empty set logo right on that page.
It's super fun. And we've shared, given them, they do outreach associated with Heifer International,
mm-hmm.
and also provide books.
Yep.
And so we've done that. We've sponsored them at the gold level, and then we've also donated, I think, 100 copies of The Rookie and The Starter, both. Because we have them.
We got them.
We might as well put them to good use.
As we told you earlier, we've got extra copies of stuff. So that's it. That's our 2013. That's our 2014 sneak peek coming up. Lots of new stories for you guys. Lots of novellas, audiobooks, novels, short stories. We're doing as much charity work as we can squeeze in with all of that. And we continue to build our business. It's been 5 years now, and I think the first 5 years was just all set up. It's all been set up. I think the next 5 years is when we actually we take prisoners.
Nope.
And we tattoo
nope.
the neck of the prisoners.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Hey, you know what we should never do?
What?
Tattoo someone against their will.
Is that bad?
I think that lots of people will tell you that's bad.
Okay. Okay. What about the little rice-sized tracking devices we inject into their spine at the base of their skull?
No, lone gunman, no.
Huh. Well, we're going to have to come up with something, because otherwise the next 5 years sound pretty boring.
How about we give everybody a cupcake?
That's 7 billion cupcakes.
Not everybody in the world.
People. Well, if they come to Sigler Fest, they'll give them a cupcake.
Okay.
And we will tattoo them.
Yeah, and we will go go-karting. Yep. And we will have a quiz show. We're going to add a quiz show.
Wow.
Because this year we added the human experimentation where people had to drink.
We did experiment on humans. It was super fun. And I didn't even get arrested for it.
People had to drink sweet corn soda.
Oh, that was gross.
So gross.
I forgot all about that.
So
they made them drink the grossest sodas you've ever seen in your life.
Peanut butter and jelly soda.
Yeah, so basically we got to go, okay, put this blindfold on, now put this in your mouth, and tell me what you think.
It's the best thing ever.
It was really good.
And next year's Sigler Fest in October 2014, the 10th and 11th, I should have the group rate and stuff up at the site in early January.
ScottSigler.com/SiglerFest?
Yep, early January. It's not quite active code yet, because I just sent back the contract yesterday, and the theme is getting Siggy with it, because that's what Jerome came up with.
Jerome Bird came out. Jerome Bird. We rack our brains, come up with phrases. I thought that was the reason we're only going to have 3 Sigler Fests. I'm like, well, you know, dig the Sig, and what was this year's?
Well, there was the dig the Sig, then there was the Notorious S.I.G., and then this one was Agents of Sigler.
Agents of Sigler. I'm like, we're kind of out of stuff. And he just busted out getting Siggy with it.
He sang getting Siggy with it at karaoke.
Told
but
you, best
changed,
karaoke ever.
Oh, yeah, and changed the lyric to getting Siggy with it. So Scott Pond has to get to work on that logo.
Get to work on that logo. And that's about it. And we're hiring people to do stuff, and we're empowering a bunch of people to work on their chosen profession and having these people contribute to make great products. We're trying to give back to the world in different ways, all of which we do while we sail our sleek little pirate ship and try and destroy everyone who gets in our path.
Okay.
Yep. Well, it can't be all good, for God's sakes.
You're getting better. We can work on it.
But now we hired Hutchins.
I know. It's the best Christmas.
Freaking Mary Poppins of the podcast world.
Best Christmas present ever.
God, unbelievable. I can't believe it's come to this.
Say goodbye, junkies.
Goodbye, junkies.
Happy New Year, junkies.
Happy New Year, junkies.
You have been listening to The Friday Fix, hosted by A. Kovacs. Produced by the A-Team of A. Kovacs and Ariok Morningstar. Content in this podcast is copyright of Dark Overlord Media and might just kick you in the nuts when you're not looking. For more information on author Scott Sigler and for free weekly audio fiction, visit scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song City of Angels by The Distillers off the album Sing Sing Death House.